you know, I think you start to hold on to them a little more when you're younger. You kind of think it's always going to happen. You know, you're always going to get to the finals. Oh, we made it this year. We'll make it next year and the year after. And you start to realize just how hard it is. And when you're in the moment, you really start to grab at it because you know that it can slip away.
The Seattle Storm's Sue Bird gets her shot at a fourth championship starting tonight as the WNBA Finals begin on ESPN2. Lechyna Robinson breaks it all down. Plus, standout rookie Satu Sabally, the Dallas Wings rising star, shares an inside look at a historic season. And NFL QB Josh McCown on what it's like to be the NFL's only quarantine quarterback. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, October 2nd. This is ESPN Daily. Lechyna, it's great to have you back on ESPN Daily.
Thanks for having me, Pablo. Good to be here with you.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I kind of want to ask you about what time has been like for you since we last talked, because this WNBA season, it was a truncated 22 games, a sprint that started in late July. So does it feel like the finals are here already, like so soon, or is it kind of like the finals are here at last after forever? It's finally happening.
It kind of feels like the finals are here at last because you got to think the conversation around whether or not there was even going to be a WNBA season started in like March, right? Mm. When sports was shut down. So we thought we were going to have a 34 or 36 game season. There was supposed to be a Commissioner's Cup, but it didn't seem like at one point there was going to be a season at all. So you have to tip your hat to the WNBA Players Association and the WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert because they were able to create this bubble in Bradenton, Florida. Zero positive coronavirus tests and a lot of fun basketball. So, but here we are finally in the finals.
Yes, and we are at the top of the mountain. And so for those who aren't in the know, Lechyna, how did these two teams get here?
Very different path. So Seattle came into the season, I would say the favorite amongst most, because they were getting Sue Bird back into their lineup. They were bringing back Breanna Stewart. Both players missed time last season due to injury. And this was a Seattle Storm team that, despite not having those two players, not only did they make the playoffs last season, but they actually won a game in the playoffs. Mm. Also keeping in mind that there were WNBA opt-outs, so just a little bit different looking landscape than we may have expected coming into a 2020 WNBA season, or a pandemic WNBA season, should I say. The Las Vegas Aces were an interesting case. They were picked to finish fourth preseason. Now, Bill Laimbeer has a ton of talent on his team. I mean, a number of number one picks, lottery picks. He added Angel McCautry this season, which is a huge acquisition after she missed last year. So, you know, we knew that Vegas would be good. I don't think we knew that they were going to be finals good, but the play of the MVP, Asia Wilson, has been incredible this year, and you just have to tip your hat to what Vegas has done.
Yeah, so Asia Wilson is who I wanted to follow up with you about because she won the MVP this season. Breanna Stewart finished second. In 2018, Stewart was the MVP and Wilson was the number one overall pick and the rookie of the year. So we have this collision of stars, legit stars. And what do you expect to see out of the battle between them?
Asia Wilson and Breanna Stewart are the future of the WNBA. And Breanna Stewart obviously has already won a WNBA championship. She's been an MVP. And you see Asia Wilson really coming into her own as a player in this league. But when you look at the style of these two players, Breanna Stewart, 6'4", can shoot the three, incredibly versatile, likes to play in space, moves well without the ball. Asia Wilson, on the other hand, she's going to play 15 feet in, likes to bang, very physical, a ton of and-one plays. And I think that's what made Asia Wilson's performance this year so impressive, is that you know that she wants to score 15 feet in, but you cannot stop her.
So you mentioned before that Breanna Stewart, Sue Bird, injured in 2019. The year before that, Seattle had won it all. And it feels like they're stronger for their path here. So the bench on this team clearly has to be super important. How deep is it?
Oh, they're incredibly deep. I believe Sue Bird said at one point that they had an entire starting lineup coming off of the bench. I mean, because they could essentially start their second five in any given game. Now, keeping in mind that Seattle is going to be without Sammy Whitcomb in the finals, and I think that's a huge loss for them because she's a big spark plug, is a streaky, but can be a great three-point shooter. But, you know, when you look at the development of that supporting cast that we talked about earlier without Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart, Natasha Howard was the Defensive Player of the Year. Jordan Canada led the league in steals last season. Jewel Lloyd has been fantastic, and even in these playoffs. I mean, she's shooting 60% from the field in her three playoff games, including two 20-point performances. And she's a former number one pick. So the cover does not bear at all for Seattle. And not to mention Alicia Clark, who is one of the great defenders in the WNBA right now. They've got a lot of depth in their lineup and in their rotation on the roster.
So if Seattle has this super stocked cupboard, as you say, what's going on with the Aces? What do they have in their kitchen?
Well, they're a little short, Pablo, and that is my concern for the Las Vegas Aces coming into these finals because they are without Sixth Woman of the Year, Derica Hamby. She's actually won that award twice, so last season and this year. She is a huge piece of what Las Vegas does because their bench play this year with Hamby, Jackie Young, who is most improved, Danielle Robinson has been fantastic. They are one of the best benches production-wise in the history of the WNBA. Now, without Hamby, Danielle Robinson has now been inserted into the starting lineup to help with the pace and experience. So they don't have a lot coming off of the bench. And that's probably one of your biggest concerns if you're going to play against Seattle is your depth. Because Seattle, you know, again, just has a number of lineups that they can put in the game that can hurt you.
LaChyna, you mentioned Angel McCautry before, and I want to get into her relationship with Sue Bird, who is her opponent in this series, because something happened where it feels like Sue Bird may actually be responsible for how well McCautry has played.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Angel obviously is an Olympic gold medalist. And as you know, Pablo, when these players go to the Olympics, they build bonds outside of their WNBA rivalries. So Angel McCautry has mentioned having conversations with Elena Deladon. She's talked about picking Sue Bird's mind in the bubble and also talking to Diana Taurasi. She's very humble in the fact that A, she hasn't won a championship. She has taken three Atlanta Dream teams to the finals and now her fourth appearance with the Las Vegas Aces. Those three Atlanta Dream teams, nowhere near the level of talent. So she's trying to get to that point in her career where she can win that first championship and has no problem seeking advice from players that have done this and been successful at it. But, you know, she is very interesting in this matchup for the finals because she does have experience. She has been there. Asia Wilson's never been there. I mean, most of Vegas's roster has not. McCautry is one of the all-time leaders in WNBA history in points per game in the playoffs. She is fantastic, and she has been what Bill Laimbeer would call the mental toughness for Las Vegas in this stretch getting to the WNBA Finals.
So I want to ask about Bill Laimbeer, too, because one of the kind of lighter stories, I suppose you would say, that has been going on in the bubble has been his evolution into, like, this kind of villain from the movie Dodgeball. He wears this headband under what can only be described as like a truly shocking mop of silver foxian hair. And the Aces injury report once reported that Laimbeer's barber was out, whereabouts unknown. So what was the story here with Bill Laimbeer?
We got to the bottom of this story of, okay, why is Bill doing this? Actually, through his players, who said, you know, Bill believes that we should have hairstylists in our bubble in Bradenton. You know, of course, the NBA had their barbershop and, you know, all of these different things that were provided for them. But the WNBA did not start with that. Now, thank goodness for Mountain Dew, who stepped in and did sponsor a hair salon for WNBA players in Bradenton. But while they didn't have it, Bill said, you know what, I'm going to wear this shaggy hair every day on television and keep the conversation going around what the needs of these players are here in the bubble. And eventually, they got it done. So, and then Bill got his haircut. I was hoping that he would go with a color or do something really dramatic. You know, he's still Bill, hasn't changed a bit.
the more serious gravity to what we've seen in terms of activism from these athletes in the women's bubble. I mean, this has been a historic season for that reason as well. How could that movement maybe show up in the finals?
You know, Pablo, with the WNBA, you never know. They stay very current with their messaging and what they plan to do and how they plan to show up as social activists and athletes. For example, when the Washington Mystics decided to wear the Jacob Blake t-shirts with, you know, the gunshots on the back, or they're wearing their voting shirts. You just never know, based on what's happening in our world, you know, after the Breonna Taylor verdict or lack thereof, the WNBA players came together making a statement around what they felt should have happened in Kentucky. So you just don't know based on what's happening. What you do know is these women will be educated. They will be organized. I don't think we've ever seen a social activist movement ever like this in the history of sports by an entire league. It's not just about their disgust of what's happening around racial injustice in our country. It is also around what we can do.
All right, LaChyna, let's cut to the chase here. Who is going to win these finals?
Pablo, I think I've known since the beginning of the season. There's been a lot of ups and downs, moves in and out of the bubble, roster changes, most improved players, new stars of the WNBA rising. But since day one, I had the feeling that the Seattle Storm would win the WNBA championship. Sue Bird will get her fourth championship, go out on top. I'm not saying she won't play next season, but if you win a championship and you're thinking about retiring anytime soon, why not do it this year? Go to the Olympics, finish your career as one of the most decorated players ever to play the game. I think Seattle, they get it done.
LaChyna Robinson, thank you for being our guide to the top of the mountain.
Thanks, Pablo. Always enjoy spending time with you.
Coming up, as the league's best gets set to square off, one of its brightest young stars takes us inside the strangest year ever to be a rookie.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Satu, could you just, to start, introduce yourself?
Yeah. I'm Satu Savali. I'm 22 years old, and I play for the Dallas Wings.
Sabaly, spot up threes on the money. Sabaly loses the defender going behind the back. She's so skilled. A 6'4", great shooter.
Satu Sabaly went second overall in the WNBA draft, right behind her superstar teammate at Oregon, Sabrina Ionescu. And Satu quickly emerged as a contender for Rookie of the Year.
Sabaly to the bucket, countered and a foul. Wow, she's played really well.
But this was the furthest thing from an ordinary rookie season, because Satu's first taste of professional basketball took place entirely inside a bubble amid a pandemic. And off the court, Satu, who's lived in the US, Gambia, and Germany, soon became the youngest player on the WNBA's newly formed Social Justice Council. So with all these forces at play, we talked with Satu over the summer to make a portrait of a historic season.
Sabaly with a nice ball fake and move to the basket.
What a big shot for the rookie.
It's not always an easy question lately to know when you are, but where and when are you?
So right now it's Thursday, July 23rd. 2020, feel like the year of misery. No, I'm just kidding, but I didn't even know what day it is. I looked at my phone.
Could you describe your room at the clean site? Could you look around and sort of paint the picture for us?
Well, right now my bed is in the middle of the room. I got the smallest room because I'm a rookie. And so I'm looking actually at the desk and all my shoes are lined up. And I got my teddy bear Marco right next to me.
For much of her last college basketball season, it was unclear whether Satu would skip senior year to go pro or come back to Oregon. Then in February, right before the NCAA tournament got canceled, she announced that she'd enter the draft. It meant making a childhood dream come true. But like everything this year, in an unconventional way.
With the second pick in the 2020 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Satu Sabally from the University of Oregon.
What was that experience like?
I feel like it was less red carpet. And, you know, it's supposed to be the biggest moment of your life. And a lot of things have overshadowed my draft. But I still made it an amazing moment. I can say I was in the Corona Day draft. I will definitely tell my grandchildren about that one. Every draft year, I will be like, but my draft was different.
So games, actual real-life games, start 2 days from now. What's your mindset?
I'm super motivated. I'm eager to win. This WNBA bubble really makes you focus on the things at hand. And I just can't wait to finally compete.
What's on your schedule for the rest of your day?
So my schedule is I'm about to leave for Lyft. I might shoot around too. I'm actually going to lift, shoot, and I actually have to still finish one of my final papers. So
Wait, hold on. You said a paper you have to finish? What's that about?
I know. So I graduated in 3 years. And because of that, I'm still in 4 summer classes right now. So next to all this training camp stuff, I'm still in classes doing my homework. So it's an English class about, you know, old literacy and just like old short stories. It's really interesting, actually.
I mean, you have a busy day ahead of you, so I will let you go back to your homework. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Satu was in the starting five for her first 9 WNBA games, averaging close to a double-double and dropping 23-17 to beat Indiana in her third game.
Satu Sabally to the hole, got it. Sabally, the offensive rebound, goes right back with a left hand, double-double.
But with the bubble came challenges, like being away from family. And as a rookie, Satu was not allowed to bring in guests. She stayed in touch with her 6 siblings remotely. Satu was born in New York, spent part of her childhood in Western Africa, in Gambia, her father's home country, before her family ultimately settled in Germany, where her mother's from. That's where most of her family lives now. We caught up with her and her sister, Niara, on August 21st. Satu from the bubble, and Niara in Oregon, where she's followed in Satu's footsteps. So when you guys are obviously apart right now, versus normal life, you know, when you'd be hanging out and talking, can you describe the relationship you guys have remotely and how different that is?
I'll just start with it because it's been really weird.
This is Satu.
So first of all, we speak in German, obviously, and I miss speaking German. So when I'm here, I just call her a lot more often than obviously we used to, because we just want to joke around in German.
we laugh about so many different things.
That's younger sister Niara.
Like, we have kind of this inside joke going on, and it's just funny. It's funny in German than it is in English. It kind of sounds stupid in English, but yeah.
Satu, I'm curious, you know, you're the older sister here, but your younger sister, I mean, MVP of the FIBA Under 18 World Championships. What's it like to watch your little sister make a name for herself on the international stage?
I mean, it's amazing. You know, Oregon fans and the American fans, they don't even know yet what's coming towards them. So I can't wait. I'm super excited.
How would you explain what WNBA life has been so far to Niara?
Tough, definitely tough. You know, you on your own and you have to take care of your own meals. You need to eat right. You need to sleep right. You know, you're tired 24/7, but the games are fun. You know, in the end, it's just basketball. So you just need to play hard and be really physical.
And Niara, what have you learned about life in the bubble from your sister?
I learned that they can't really leave. I mean, everybody knows that, but like that it's like really restricted. They have to follow a lot of rules. She told me she can't get her nails done, so she ordered a gel set. but yeah, just like basic things, I guess.
Niara, I'm going to ask you a cheesy question. In what ways do you look up to your older sister?
Obviously, everything that she's accomplished basketball-wise, but also off the court, how she is a social advocate, how she cares about like justice, and how she uses her voice to bring awareness to social justice problems. I think that's really important. So I look to her, up to her in that way. And that she like doesn't let anybody tell her what to say and what not to say.
I know you guys got to go, so I'm going to ask one last question. Niara, do you know what you want to do the first time you see your sister again in person? Do you have anything in particular that you'd love to do with her?
Depends on where we're seeing each other. Or if we see each other in Germany, then we're going to go eat.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely eat some kebabs. But yeah, I can't wait. That's actually very true. That's what we're going to go eat.
After a brief setback from a back injury, Satu finished the season with her strongest stretch yet, averaging 19-9 over her last six games for the Wings. The team was now in the hunt for the playoffs, so we caught up with Satu on Labor Day.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm good. Actually, in my teammate's hotel room, because we were all at the pool in the hotel, and I had to get a laptop for this interview, so yeah, right now I'm here just hanging out. We had a barbecue. We've been having fun today, actually, and relaxing. No practice. It's awesome.
Satu, you've been playing incredible recently, and you're averaging, I think, 18-9 over your last five games.
Into the hands of Satu Sabali. Left-hander pull-up, got it.
This is, I think, the best basketball of the season for you. Is that? Does it feel that way to you?
It's like mixed feelings because I know I'm playing well, but I know that you know, my three-pointers are not falling, and I can always do better.
I think the first time we talked, Satu, you were just finishing up your last paper for your last class at Oregon. I'm looking at this photo from your Instagram in August, and you're in a graduation gown and cap. You have your diploma. You're saying you just submitted your last final in the caption. So tell me about that picture and what that means to you.
Oh, my God. I was so happy. It just means a lot to my family and me. I'm a first-generation student, you know. I've made it, and the last 2 weeks went very hard with the WNBA starting and me trying to somehow fulfill my papers and assignments. And after that, I was a lot like less stressed than before.
another milestone for Satu was that Nike put her image on a massive billboard in her home city of Berlin. The caption on it was, "You can't stop us."
I mean, it meant everything to me. I was really scared because my mom almost crashed her car when she saw that. And she cried, and it was just an amazing honor. I would always walk past Nike Town in Berlin, and I would always want to be on one of those posters, you know, seeing Serena Williams and Cristiano Ronaldo up there. That was just always amazing. So me being able to be up there, that was just really amazing. And I could not believe it, honestly.
So back to the bubble stuff, because it's obviously been this unprecedented scenario for you to spend your rookie year.
Yeah.
I wonder, what are the pros of the circumstances that you find yourself in?
I'm really able to get to know the team better. And it is such a short season, such uncertain times, that I think it's really great that we get to spend so much time with each other. And another benefit is that you're able to, you know, you're neighbors with your idols. So, you know, like, you see people like Candace Parker walking around getting breakfast, you know, like, it just shows you that they're normal people. They're not untouchable. And you're with them. You're playing in the best women's league, you know?
So you're this rookie who's around her idols, which is really cool, obviously. But you're also the youngest member of the WNBA Social Justice Council, which is this enormous deal in a different way. And you've been outspoken, noticeably outspoken, about the issues the council takes up in some of your press conferences.
I just want to say that I won't be answering any questions, because we need justice for Jacob Blake, who has been shot 7 times in the back. And at this moment, you know, we can't enjoy any wins. We can't enjoy any losses. There's a lot of things happening in this country, and we need to put the focus on that.
Where does the work on that front go with the Social Justice Council? Where does it go once the season ends, whenever that season ends?
It's really uncertain, because I feel like everyone is just going to go around the world. And I mean, I'm going to be in Turkey. You know, other people are going to be in Russia, Spain, Italy. We will have to continue to say her name, continue to make the league about social justice, and make the league bigger than basketball.
Satu Sabally's season ended on another note of personal recognition. She got named to the WNBA All-Rookie Team, though her Wings finished one game out of that final playoff spot. And so Satu finally got to leave the bubble, and she's on to her next season already, with the Turkish club Fenerbahce in Istanbul, just a 3-hour flight from her family in Berlin.
Thank you very much for being so thoughtful with me, as always.
Of course. Thank you so much.
The WNBA Finals start tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Coming up, the NFL is grappling with its first COVID outbreak. So we talk to the one quarterback whose entire job is to be prepared for what happens next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. The NFL is currently dealing with its first COVID crisis of the season. And yesterday,
the league officially postponed this Sunday's Titans-Steelers game for some time later in the season after multiple Titans players tested positive for the coronavirus this week. So a lot is in flux. And I wanted to catch up with the one player whose entire job was designed for precisely this uncertainty. Josh McCown, aka the Philadelphia Eagles' designated survivor quarterback. Josh McCown, you are sitting on what appears to be an expansive field. The wind is blowing behind you. Where are you right now?
Man, I'm in Rusk, Texas, in East Texas, not too far from where I grew up. We made a move in August to come back here shortly after I talked to you, actually, the last time.
So the winds around the NFL, if I may torture this metaphor, are also kind of swirling right now, man. And you are the Eagles' quarantine quarterback, the COVID reserve quarterback, perhaps the most peculiar job in the National Football League. So I just want to ask you, first off, what have your days and weeks been like so far this season?
Man, metaphors are meant to be tortured. I think it's been unique because for the most part, other than getting up and making sandwiches for my kids and getting them off to school, I hop right into an offensive meeting, you know, where I'm in a blitz meeting, listening to coaches present, you know, the game plan and just digesting it that way. Yeah. Get in, do those meetings, get a workout in while those guys are at practice, and then hop on, watch the practice tape, and then get into post-practice meetings with them so that we're able to dialogue and talk through it. And then spend any other extra time I need to with Carson or anything on the phone, you know, just trying to help him as much as I can. So that's kind of what a day is like.
Because there is this COVID outbreak on the Tennessee Titans, I'm just curious, do you think we'll see other teams join the Eagles in signing quarterbacks to do that job that you have?
You know, it would be understandable to go out and do that, especially, you know, given the current situation with Tennessee, because they were so close to playing that game. So if decisions like that start needing to be made, then you could certainly see a reason for teams to want to, you know, add a guy in my position where they're away, especially at the quarterback position where they're away, they're being able to stay healthy and distance, and then be able to step in if needed.
Are you the only player like this right now, to your knowledge?
Yeah, to my knowledge, you know, I haven't gone up and down, you know, the league and the practice squads and this and the other. So I think so. It's been unique situation. But when you get into the routine and the mode of it, other than, you know, being at practice and obviously seeing how we're having to do meetings, even in the facility where you're having guys in different rooms and situations like that, you kind of get into the groove of it. And it feels, you know, somewhat like season mode.
I guess one difference, Josh, would be that those guys who are, albeit socially distanced inside the building, their kids probably can't crash the quarterback meeting. Have you had any examples of just the family dynamic? I'm speaking from experience myself. It's tough times, man. I'm in a closet right now.
Yeah, I got a text one day from Zach Ertz. He's like, dude, mute your mic. And if my sons are walking through getting ready for school in an early morning meeting or something like that, and so that hasn't happened very much, but it has happened, and that's part of it.
And I guess the last question I have for you, Josh, is do you have any advice for fellow emergency quarterbacks who may be joining you if, in fact, this becomes a thing around the league?
Well, yeah, I mean, make sure you have good Wi-Fi. It starts there. And then just have a plan. You know, in the NFL, it's when you get into season mode and you have a routine, it's like herding cattle. I mean, you go from one meeting to the next, to walk through, to practice, to weight room, you know, and you just get on a schedule. And when you don't have the herd, so to speak, you're kind of going, okay, what do I do next? And so that's what the biggest thing for me was, just developing a routine, man. You know, that's the biggest thing, is just keep yourself busy.
Josh McCown, thank you for joining us, and thank you to your Wi-Fi signal for staying strong.
Oh, man, good. I'm glad we got it done.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tumanello,
and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Garrett Lang, Lindsay Armacost, Max Brodsky, and Troy Farkas. I'll talk to you Monday.